Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? You know, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace with you. And of course, it is Friday. It is end of another week, and of course it's the all-important ridiculous vote that we're looking at with the Health Care Act, and of course you've got the muscle coming on both sides trying to figure it out and make things happen. And hey, it is what it is, and you know, it just shows that the markets are on edge, and you know, they're getting ready to make a very, very dramatic move, I would think, in one direction or the other. I mean, again, it couldn't go either way. We're not going to predict. As much as I'd like to say it's going to be down, I cannot say that with good conscience, because the truth of the matter is the markets can go either way from here. But we do know that there's going to be a move, and a move that has some relatively decent size. You know, what you think is to, you know, try to watch the tape and try to, you know, figure out where the move is going to come from. But if we look at it from just a simple standpoint, all right, now let's just look at life and compare the markets to everyday life. You know, everyday life, you get up, you go to work, or you do what you do, and you have a lot of good days. And, you know, hopefully your life is a constant improvement, and you're happy and things keep getting better. And over time, you grow and you move up and things get better. And hopefully, you know, your financially things get better, and you move into, you know, different portions and parts of your life. And stock markets are no different. We know that the stock markets go up, you know, 9% year over year. We've said it here many, many times. And, you know, there's the old stories of, you know, being bullish or bearish of the market. And of course, Jesse Livermore said that, you know, you shouldn't be bullish or bearish, you should be right. It doesn't really matter. So when you take a look at the overall probabilities, all right, in the probabilities are that most likely we're going to have some disappointment. We have had now 8 years of all basically positive market action. Most people who were able to hold in to their positions have recovered the losses that they were suffered. And of course, there looks like the markets may never go down again. And that's where the rub comes in from my standpoint. You know, you've got the pundits, the media, the jackasses who know nothing, chirping up the markets every single day, telling you that, you know, again, we're hearing it's that this time is different. You know, we've got the Trump tax cuts, we've got this, and man, if they come in, this market's going to soar. Well, the real question you have to ask yourself is, what has the market done for the last 8 years? We're up almost 300%, 250% for over the last over the last 8 years on nothing. Okay. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen, but we're up on nothing. We have no fundamental reason to be at these levels. And you can hear guys make excuses of why, but the truth is, this is where the average investor gets trapped, because they continue to listen to people that have no idea of what they're talking about. And I'm not trying to say that I do know what I'm talking about, but I do. But I'm saying that the people that are chirping and pushing the market have no skin in the game. They have no involvement in the game. They're entertainers. They're news people that wouldn't know how to trade if you told them, all right? They don't have any clue of what markets do. They don't have any clue of how markets work. They want to continue to chirp it and push it and have, you know, so they can get on air and say, oh, new highs, new highs, new highs. And again, I don't have a problem with that either. You know, remember, although I am bearish right here, I'm only bearish on a short term and know that, you know, the long term, I know will go higher. But in the short term, we are mighty, mighty stretched, which is why you always look at the market in a from a probability standpoint. All right. And what are the probabilities? Well, you know, we're up a gazillion. We've got stocks at new highs, you know, all time new highs. And you've got Apple, Facebook and all the others. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a Google drops $16 in a day, which is not a big move, you know, when you think about it. You know, it's less than 2%. But do you think that that's not going to continue to happen? You know, the markets are making more new lows and new highs every day. We have overshot what this good news could mean. We have overshot the potential of growth. And yet we have everybody telling you, you know, and I mean some people that are supposed to be smart are up there chirping about, oh, man, it's going to be this time is a difference. We're going to go. And, you know, again, eventually we'll go. But the markets are very interesting, and they do have a way of pricing in things well ahead of time. And as you know, people that are talking typically have an agenda. And, you know, I've watched and I watch the media every day because I'm part of it, and not because I like to watch it, because I'd rather be watching March Madness, all right? But I know that they're talking out of their ass, and they have no clue, and they have no skin. And, you know, trying to time the market is a fool's game, and we don't want to be a fool. Trying to rotate from sector to sector is a fool's game. Underweight, overweight is a fool's game. There's one way to trade, all right? Now, if you just want to be an investor and a straight-up investor, you buy basic, good, solid companies that pay dividends, and you only put in money that you're not going to need tomorrow, and you let it work. Now, I'm not a big fan of that, but out of the alternatives of what is offered out there, I would be more of a fan of that than anything else, because the one thing we have to remember is that if I'm just investing and I'm investing for the long term, then if I invest, you know, let's say $100 a month, well, some months I'm going to pay more, some months I'm going to pay less. But in the meantime, I'm just investing and I know that that money is going to compound over time. But if I'm trying to always figure out where the next move is coming, or if I'm trying to move to defensive stocks, how do I know when it's going to be defensive? That's the issue. See, that's the point that nobody gets. We cannot figure out. If we could figure out when to be defensive, we could just figure out to be out of the market. It wouldn't have to be defensive. We would just be out. So your goals should be in just using things that are value, that continue to pay their dividends or whatever, and they're good, solid companies that are going to be around for an extended period of time. And if you do that, then you put yourself in a position to be successful. And you can let the money compound and grow over time. And you get the natural growth of the market. You get the natural cause of inflation that makes prices go higher. You get to compound by reinvesting the dividends. And your portfolio will grow. All right. Now, we'll talk about more when we come back from the break. But those are things that you look at from a market standpoint. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and, you know, LibertyTalk.fm, that's my station. Make sure that you go there and download The Bubba Show every day and download The Sporting Edge on the weekends. Tomorrow you get Xander, and I know they got some players on from Princeton, so that should be pretty exciting. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line, the new hit sensation, soon-to-be Emmy Award-winning podcast. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you Friday. And of course, let me not, don't forget, yesterday I gave you Xavier to beat Arizona straight up. Not bad. I gave you Michigan, depending on how you had it. And of course, I gave you West Virginia, who should have beat Gonzaga, but did cover the point spread. So, you know, a little bit of action for you sports investors. But when you go back to, you know, the investing, so we talked about the first type of investing, which is just you buy, you hold, and you continue to invest and you don't sell. The better type of investing, the hybrid, is to hedge your portfolio, but not hedge it by, you know, trying to buy bonds or trying to buy gold, because those are asset classes you should always own either way. But the way that you hedge it is through using a hedging model, and whether you use mine, which is, I believe, the best, and it's trademarked, so it obviously has some value, or you hedge, you know, by, you know, trying to figure out ways to reduce the volatility and reduce the risk. That allows you to compound faster. That allows you to take out of your decision the point of ever having to sell, because you now eliminate that potential risk model, because you no longer are concerned about risk because you are protected. And I think that is something that we often let slip by, because, you know, we think, well, maybe it doesn't work. Well, it works. It's a mathematical. Again, the markets are a probability market model. The hedging is a probability model. And using the right probabilities always puts you in a position to be able to hang in there and not have to worry about what's going to happen next. And in fact, people that hedge correctly actually enjoy the markets when they have big sell-offs. Why? Because they get to buy more stock down at the bottom of the market. Now, again, I don't know how anybody could not want to have that as part of their portfolio, but that's not for me to decide, and I don't spend anybody's money. But I will tell you this. As we look at the markets, we are definitely in a market that is overvalued. That doesn't mean it won't go higher. Again, I don't ever want you to think that I'm telling you that we're going to go down here. I'm telling you that we are at an overvaluation state. We've had virtually zero growth for 8 years, virtually. We've created no jobs of worth in 8 years. We've got a lot of promises, and I think that's one of the things you look at in a market, is the promises have already been priced into the market. What do you think has caused the 20% rally since Donald Trump got elected? Well, those are the promises that are building this rally. So if you've ever heard the terms of buy the rumor and sell the news, this would be one of those things, right? People bought the rumor, you know, from the depths of destruction when Donald Trump, you know, when everybody said that the markets would collapse, Paul Krugman, Mark Cuban, and all the other jackasses around the world who kept saying the market was going to collapse, you know, and of course the markets have gone straight up. I mean, certainly Warren Buffett has been buying in this market. Now, you know, again, this is one of the things that we tend to get too caught up in, and that is, you know, the president of the United States is not a man. It's the office. The president of the United States does not control the markets. The markets control themselves. Now, the markets for the last, you know, 8 years have been more driven by the Federal Reserve. But again, let me remind you that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, right, that has the ability to make monetary policy. And because of the way they've made the policies, has allowed the markets to continue to go up on air pockets. But they're up, and you can't fight that. So now we're at a point where everything has been priced in. The Fed has finally woken up and is raising interest rates. So if our valuations are too high now, well, what's going to happen to earnings when the interest rates start to kick in and all those profits that were made because of the cheap money, A, become harder to come by, and B, start to slip away because, again, the higher interest rate. Because now, you remember, if you look at the business model, if I had a cost of, let's say, 3% on money, all right, and now my cost is going to be, let's say, 4% on money, well, that does change my dynamics. That changes what I'm doing. And again, I'm not, I don't want anybody to be afraid of the market. I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, human nature is we're always afraid of losing everything. We're always afraid of that big collapse. But you have to take control of your emotions. You have to take control of your mental and say, I know that history tells me that the stock market goes up 9% year over year. And, you know, so we've had now a giant move. And at some point, the mathematical probability side of the market will take over. And we will see a little bit of selling. Now, again, we're not predicting the world, the end of the world. I think we could have a pretty healthy sell-off. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a 10 to 20 to 30% sell-off in the market. But I would think that would be rather healthy in my humble opinion. I think we have to weed out some of the crap. I think we've had too many companies stick around too long that probably don't belong around. But, you know, you've got the expression of things have been priced in and the promises have been built. And we've got all of these things happening that are built on dreams. And even if they are true, and even if everything gets done, does the market have the ability to continue at this pace? And the answer is no, definitely not. Now, eventually it'll pick back up. But again, we have not seen one change right now that's going to drive this economy to continue to keep these valuations in play. Now, you know, when you default, you default, you know, if you have no opinion to the market, well, obviously we know the market's going to go higher as you continue to buy. You should never stop buying the market from a long-term perspective. You should only be trading or trying to short on a short-term perspective. That goes back to the hedging model. So, you know, you look to play long because markets do and are predisposed to go higher, you know, just by the sheer nature that money is going to flow in, companies are going to work. So, but you want to make sure that at some point in time that you at least either can stomach a down move or you protect yourself from that down move. Because again, we know it's just a certainty from that standpoint. At some point, there has to be some movement that is not going to be verbal. At some point, actually, some investors might actually take profit. At some point, the older Americans that are on fixed incomes or would like to be on fixed incomes and don't want to be in the market, they're going to take their money out as rates continue to rise. So, you know, you look at it from that standpoint and you go, okay, so know it. Now, again, you're not trying to time it. You know, you want to gamble a little bit and take a shot? Yeah, I mean, you could do that. You know, but it has to be on monies that you can afford. All right. You know, if you're going to gamble, there's nothing wrong with gambling if you can keep it under control. But in other words, you know, if you've got a $100,000 portfolio and you wanted to, you know, you had $1,000 you weren't afraid to lose and you want to gamble on something, feel free. But don't gamble on your future. Don't gamble with all your money. Don't be the putz that puts all your money into one idea and then it fails and you're out of business. Remember, the key to success, or one of the many keys to success, but the biggest key to success is A, being around when whatever you're investing in or gambling on, whatever, when the ship comes in. And the only way you can do that is to make sure that you have enough money when it does happen. Because if you lose all your money, you can't participate. So once again, the ship sails by without taking care of you. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm allows you to download The Bubba Show every single day. And of course, you've got the Sporting Edge this weekend with Xander taking control and our award-winning, well, not yet, soon-to-be award-winning Bubba's Bottom Line available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. This is the Bubba Show, Tom Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show, Tom Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, you know, we've got markets we've been talking about all day, and we'll continue to do so. You know, we've got the healthcare vote that has, you know, created some volatility. And I think that's the interesting thing to take note of, not the healthcare vote, but the actual markets have seen a little volatility sneak back in. And you know, again, it's still not anywhere near where it needs to be to see some movement back and forth. But I think that you will see that, you know, if you tie this in with the probability, and earlier we talked about a huge move coming. And, you know, I believe that, again, I'd say that if we're going to be up, which it could be, I'm not telling you it's only going to be down. If we're going to be up, the move could be, you know, 5-10%. If we're going to be down, I think it could be 20% plus. I do believe that it will be down, actually, when it does finally happen. But, you know, my frustrations come in because what's going to happen is what's going to always happen. And because we've got so many schmucks out there touting on markets, because we've got so many schmucks, you know, telling you that, you know, the markets can never go down again, I think that becomes the overall bigger problem. And that is something that really gives me great disgust. I think that you have to, you know, really take everything you hear, even from me. Again, I'm one of the best in this business. I give it to you straight all the time. I understand how the market works, but I'm not always right, number one. Number two, sometimes I do allow my opinion, like everybody else, to get in the way. So my one of my recommendations to you always is hey, look at, check it out for yourself. Learn, you know, the basics of the markets. You know, I think that we as Americans and we as investors and people all over the world, but I think we become too complacent, which is exactly something that's going on in the markets right now. The overall markets are really complacent, which we'll talk about in a minute, but we become, you know, too reliant on others to do the work for that we should be doing for ourselves. And the reason that we should be doing the work for ourselves is because we can create a better understanding of why things are happening. You know, the real big successful firms, you know, they're putting together the information well ahead of time. You know, if you take information that the government gives out for, let's say, the jobs number, if you put together the jobless claims and you put all, you know, do all the math and you know, go to the BLS, you can kind of figure out what the jobs number is going to be. If you compare that to the chart, you can kind of figure out what's going to happen. And that, I think, is something that not enough of us take care of. We start to rely on other things, which is why I spend so much time on the show trying to educate and help you out. Because, again, can I help you? Yeah, I can help you. But I want to help you where you say, oh, yeah, that does look correct. Yes. And that's where many of my frustrations come in, because, you know, I don't want to name names, but if you watch, if you watch the news or you watch the major business channels, you have everybody there giving you a, what I would say is a BS story. All right. And it's not from anything but to create excitement potentially for you or for them. And, you know, I would love it for all investors to have an idea of why the markets are doing what they're doing, what creates a move, why the markets are driven by price discovery, not supply and demand, why markets do what they do, why the markets are break down into different phases and different types of trading. And those are things that you should really learn and get yourself going, because, you know, education is huge. Understanding why things happen. It doesn't mean you're always going to be right, but at least understanding what happens and understanding the ability to put yourself in the highest position of probability. Now, that's what we're talking about. You know, if you're a poker player, wouldn't you like to be sitting with pocket aces all the time? Pocket rockets? Of course you would. But most of you are sitting with deuce seven off suit because you don't really understand why the markets are, and you take too much information from those who have no clue. You know, I can't tell you how many times I would go on air and have to explain ahead of time the trade I was going to make because the person who was going to ask me the question had no idea what I was saying. And I'm not saying that you have to have that type of knowledge. I'm saying that you should have enough knowledge to be able to make a smart decision, you know, and make a good calculated decision that's based on odds and probabilities and mathematics. You know, did you ever play blackjack? Well, we all know that blackjack is a mathematical game, believe it or not. Now, unless you're a counter, you can never get the edge on the casino. But why wouldn't you try to cut down as much of the edge as you could when you go there? I mean, you know, doesn't it make sense instead of going to Las Vegas and handing over your $500 or $1,000 and walking away a loser? Wouldn't it be better to go there and at least if you're going to play, put yourself in the highest potential probability? Again, that doesn't guarantee that you'll win because you're still an underdog. But why make a 1.5% underdog a 15% underdog by playing incorrectly? Why make yourself, you know, a bad trader by playing incorrectly, by chasing the market? You know, many people, which is why we saw some of the action we saw yesterday and the day before, were trying to sell the bottoms and buy tops. Now, that's not a very good way to make money. Usually that ends up, you know, being a big loser. And I think that is something that, you know, I always like to point out to everybody. If you're going to play, at least play and put yourself in a position of potential success. That is what we have to always want to do, is be in that best position to create a mathematical probability in our favor. Again, that still does not guarantee that we will be correct, but at least we have the advantage going in. And that's all you can ask for. You know, I mean, you know, when you cross the street, do you look both ways? You know, most do. Why? Because then if you do, it gives you a better probability of getting the other side. So we talked about a little bit about complacency. And right now in the markets, you're seeing an enormous amount of complacency. Now, what does that mean? Well, when investors become so overly complacent, what that usually means is that the markets are getting ready to make a break and potentially go the other way. Because you can't have everybody in without regard, without thinking about it, and just pouring in their money. And of course, this goes back into the world of advisors and the world of everything else. I mean, they don't make money unless they have your money in the market. So their objective is to get you to put that money in the market. And, you know, you have to look at the model. Again, we look at it as a model. You can pick any company you want to invest in. But your first step is you look at the company, you say, okay, this is a fundamentally strong company. Apple, fundamentally strong company. AT&T, Verizon, blah, 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 you name it. Facebook, fundamentally strong companies. So now if you buy companies that figure to be in business for an extended period of time, you know that there's going to be a little bit of a ride up and down. But if we know that they're going to be in business, then we don't have to worry about it because we know that eventually they will come back and work their way back into a reasonable level. And that is one of the keys of success is, again, turning the probabilities in your favor. So instead of buying a high flyer, like, for example, Snapchat, if you're going to buy Snapchat right now, I think it would be a horrible buy. But if you want to buy it and you want to put a little bit in there, you know that there's a fair chance that they may never make money. There's a fair chance that they might go broke. But certainly you could invest a little bit because it could be a monster winner. But you have to understand the risk that you're taking compared to what you're buying so that you're then in a position to be able to cash out without getting cashed out, right? And my point simple is very simple. Look for good, solid companies that you can invest in that will be there for the long haul, that will continue to pay you for the long haul. And if you do that, again, you'll have a company go out of business here and there. It happens. But if you keep yourself within the things that are going to be around, the companies that have been around for a long time and will continue to do so, you put yourself again in a high probability model that allows you to be a successful investor without having to go through all of the sweating and not sleeping at night because the markets are getting creamed. And again, I, as you know, I'm a big advocate for the underdog, and I think most investors are the underdog because they don't look to understand why markets do what they do, and that's why we try to discuss it here a lot on The Bubba Show. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and LibertyTalk.fm is our station. Make sure that you go there and you download the show every day and listen to our other content. We've got 24-hour-a-day content right there for you, including The Sporting Edge tomorrow on Saturday. And, of course, my brand new Bubba's Bottom Line available at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. This is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Tyler Bubba Horowitz. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on great Friday. Finally, the markets look like they might be picking up some action. But before we get back to markets, we got to talk about the NCAAs. We've got March Madness going on and not a lot of surprises. A few upsets, but nothing, I don't think, major, you know, unbelievable. Xavier knocking off Arizona, pretty interesting. Gonzaga should have lost, but they didn't. But in the meantime, tonight's games, of course, you know I always have some what I would consider high probability selections for you. I think that the best bet of the night is Wisconsin plus or on the money line over Florida. I think that I think Baylor is a good play over South Carolina. Well, South Carolina, we did have them last week as an upset. And I think that the Kentucky and UCLA game, too close to call. And, of course, you know, we've got North Carolina. But, you know, again, these are probability plays, right? You notice that we always try to play, first of all, we try to play underdogs because we're a favorite with the underdog because you're getting a little, the favorites are always a little bit heavier bet. So, you know, those are things we like to do. And look at, so anyways, that's your selections. So now we talked about earlier of, you know, what's going to drive the huge move and why it's going to happen. And A, it's going to happen because history tells us that markets do make big moves on both sides, up or down. And when markets get into a pattern, and when you think about it, they've had, you know, one or two or three days of more than a 1% gain over the last 100 and some days. But they've only had one day. We've only had one day that has been down over 1%. And it was barely down over 1%. So your thought process has to be pretty simple, that, you know, the complacency of just buying and not having to worry about it is potentially becoming a problem. And again, I don't want to, you know, create fear or havoc in your mind. I just, again, want you to understand the basic principles of investing. And again, I go through, you know, some basic examples. And, you know, if you go on, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you know, if somebody has recommended a restaurant to you and they've so overhyped it, and you get there and you're kind of disappointed, you know, even if it was great, it was okay. You know, a great movie, you know, all those things that you get revved up on to have. Well, the market's the same thing. You know, we're all revved up on Trump. And again, I think that he's done a good job. So again, I'm certainly happy with what he's trying to do. But as we predicted here, he was going to have trouble with his own House and Congress, because, you know, those guys are worried about their votes, and they're being, you know, little snotty guys that, you know, are trying to push him around, and they think that they can. And, you know, I basically like the ultimatum that that Trump gave him. I mean, he's acting like a businessman trying to create deals. But so the market itself, you know, will make a move here. And again, it could be either way. But we'll see, you know, if we weigh the probability and we weigh where we are, you know, we are not in a great economy yet. You know, we're not back to where we were. We still are not making enough money. Average workers are not making enough money. We still have the healthcare problem. All right. We still have a lot of other issues that are going to be at play here. And then, of course, you know, we've heard the story about, you know, the inflation. And of course, you know, that inflation is nothing more than a hidden tax. So not only are we not making more money, but unfortunately, the assets we own, like our homes, have been artificially inflated, which allows us to pay more tax than making less money. So my question to you would be, what could possibly push the market higher? And you're going to hear that, oh, there's money on the sidelines. And of course, I always say, and I will say it again, there's always money on the sidelines. This is not a new phenomena. There's money on the sidelines always. So don't think that, you know, the money on the sidelines deal means anything. It does not. There will always be money flowing into the market, which is why dull markets tend to drift higher. The things you have to look at is you got to start to weigh the probability model of how long the bull market's been, how big it's been, what is it built on, and of course, it's a house of cards that will come tumbling down. But again, you know, the stock market will still be, as far as I can see, the stock market will still be the best investment you can go to. It still gives you the biggest opportunity. I mean, what other investment can you make that can take a relatively moderate person making a moderate income who diligently puts money away every month into the market? A millionaire by the time they're ready to quit. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if you were 21 years old today and you started out putting away, you know, $100 a month or $200 a month every single month, and you never touched it, and you were in good companies, you would realize that you would have just one hell of a lot of money when you get on. You know, think about it this way. Insurance companies, they sell you $1 million life insurance policy. Okay. And, you know, depending on your age, let's just say, you know, they sell you a moderate policy. Let's say they sell you the policy for, you know, $1,000 a year, $5,000. Let's even make it $5,000 a year. Doesn't matter. All right. So they sell you life insurance. And, of course, they've done their due diligence. They've taken it through an actuary. And they know that, you know, you're 32 years old and you should live till you're 80. So you're going to be paying those premiums for a long time. But so let's say you're paying $5,000 a year, all right, for $1 million. Well, if you live 40 years, you paid in $200,000, all right? When you die, they're going to pay you $1 million. How do they do that? How does that work? They'd have to lose money, right? No, because what they're doing is they're taking your money and they're investing it into many investments, but a lot of it, the stock market as well. And of course, because of the compounding effect of markets over time, because of interest rates, when they're at a reasonable rate, they can actually take that money that you're paying them and they can turn it into more dollars, hence making a profit and also paying off your claim. And that is what everybody seems to be missing. And that is something that, again, it's a probability model. So if the insurance companies are making billions of dollars selling insurance policies, and they're making most of their money through investments because obviously the policies aren't enough, what does that tell you? It tells you that the markets will go higher. It tells you that you should never fear as long as you stay within your own investing parameters, which means that you invest money that you can afford and that you're not going to need tomorrow, because there's stories going right now that 90% of Americans couldn't write a check for $500 in an emergency. And that's a sad state. But that's why you take this money, you put it away, and you put it away, and you put it away. And if you do that, you'll have a lot more money when you get finished, when you get ready for it. And that's always something that, you know, you need to learn and take care of. And that's why that investors, although you could like to watch the news, and I have no problem with watching it, but don't take it so much to heart like they know what they're talking about, because the bottom line is they don't. They have no clue of market function, how it works, what it does, and why it does it. They only know how to do one thing. They know how to hype you up and get you rocking and rolling, forcing you to take chances that you probably should not be taking. And of course, those are the words of Bubba. And of course, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we come ready to go to our weekend. And of course, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show. And again, as you know, we have 24-hour content there anyway, so check it out. And I know Xander tomorrow on the Sporting Edge, I believe they've got some players from Princeton going to be on the show. So I think that'd be fun to listen to. And of course, Bubba's Bottom Line and the new edition will be out this weekend. So make sure you check that out. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to serve you and to try to help educate and share good ideas with you. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here on Monday. Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Event.